Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The 40s. The Story of a Decade is a curated collection from The New Yorker that captures the defining moods, arguments, and everyday textures of the 1940s. Rather than offering a single author narrative history, the book draws on the magazine's celebrated reportage, essays, profiles, criticism, and cultural writing to show how the decade felt as it unfolded. Readers encounter the era as a living present shaped by World War II, the home front, shifting social roles, post-war rebuilding, and the early outlines of Cold War thinking. The collection also reflects how art, literature, theater, film, and humor responded to crisis and uncertainty, often with sharp observation and distinctive voice. As part of The New Yorker The Story of a Decade series, it is designed to be browsed as well as read straight through, making it useful for both casual readers and those seeking primary source-flavored context. The result is an immersive time capsule of wartime and post-war America and the wider world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wartime journalism and the feel of World War II. A central focus of the collection is how the 1940s were experienced through wartime reporting and analysis. The New Yorker became a venue where large events were rendered in human scale, translating military developments, political decisions, and global upheaval into scenes, voices, and consequences that readers could grasp. The selections show how a magazine can document uncertainty in real-time information is incomplete, rumors circulate, and moral questions remain unsettled even as public narratives harden. By presenting the decade through contemporaneous writing, the book highlights the gap between hindsight and lived experience, when outcomes were not yet guaranteed and people were improvising daily. Readers also see how language and tone shift under pressure, balancing urgency with restraint, and how writers attempt to understand alliances, leadership, strategy, and the ethical costs of modern war. This approach makes the war more than a timeline of battles. It becomes a social condition that shapes thought, conversation, and private life. The topic also underscores the role of magazines as historical artifacts, preserving how events were framed, what anxieties dominated, and how public opinion was influenced by careful, stylish reporting. Secondly, the home front work, rationing and changing social roles beyond the battlefield. The book emphasizes the wartime and post-war home front as a place where national policy became personal routine. The decade involved rationing, shortages, industrial mobilization, and the constant negotiation between individual desire and collective necessity. The selections illuminate how ordinary life was reorganized, households adapted to limits, workplaces absorbed new labor patterns, and communities managed a mix of patriotism, fatigue, and fear. Particularly significant is the way social roles were pressured and redefined, including the expansion of women's work in many sectors, and the subsequent tensions as soldiers returned, and societies argued over what normal should mean. The book also suggests how culture and class shape the experience of sacrifice, since not everyone bore constraints equally. Through sharp observation, it captures the texture of daily adjustments, the moral language used to justify them, and the small conflicts that revealed larger social shifts. This topic helps readers understand the 1940s as a decade of practical problem-solving and identity negotiation, not only of grand speeches and military maps. It also offers a lens on how quickly societies can retool under emergency and how unevenly the benefits and burdens of that retooling are distributed. Thirdly, politics, power, and the emergence of the post-war order. The 1940s did not end with relief alone. They moved swiftly into debates about power, governance, and the shape of the world after the war. The book traces that pivot by presenting writing that grapples with leadership, institutions, and the complicated transition from wartime unity to post-war competition. Readers see how political questions expanded from immediate strategy to longer-term dilemmas about security, international cooperation, reconstruction, and the uneasy beginnings of Cold War attitudes. The New Yorker's editorial culture often favored careful scrutiny over slogans, and the selections reflect the effort to interpret rapidly shifting realities, alliances that looked permanent suddenly became fragile, and new fears replaced old ones. This topic highlights how ideas about democracy, propaganda, civil liberties, and public trust were tested by both global conflict and domestic pressures. It also shows how post-war optimism coexisted with suspicion and exhaustion, creating an atmosphere where planning for peace could feel as fraught as waging war. For modern readers, these pieces provide context for institutions and assumptions that still shape public life, including how media frames international crises and how citizens are asked to balance safety with principle. The book thus functions as a guided tour through the decade's political turning points as they were being understood at the time. Fourthly, culture under pressure, literature, theater, film, and criticism. A defining strength of The New Yorker is its cultural coverage, and the collection uses criticism and arts writing to show how the 1940s imagined itself. In a decade marked by war and its aftermath, cultural production became both escape and argument, offering entertainment while also testing new styles, themes, and moral perspectives. The book's selections demonstrate how critics and essayists treated art as serious public business, assessing not only craft but also what books, plays, and films suggested about national mood and social values. Readers can observe how cultural commentary responds to collective trauma, censorship pressures, shifting audiences, and the desire for stories that either clarify or distract. The topic also reveals the role of taste, making institutions in shaping reputations and defining what counted as modern, timely, or daring. By combining high-level critical intelligence with accessibility, the writing models how to think about culture as a record of its moment, what people laughed at, what they feared, what ideals they celebrated, and what anxieties they tried to suppress. This section of the collection is especially valuable for readers who want history through aesthetics, showing how the decade's tensions surfaced in style, character, and the expectations placed on artists. Lastly, The New Yorker voice observation, humor, and moral clarity. Another important topic is the magazine's distinctive voice, which blends precision, wit, and a kind of calm scrutiny even when addressing catastrophe. The 1940s selections demonstrate how tone can be a historical force. Humor can deflate propaganda, close observation can expose hypocrisy, and understated prose can carry moral weight without theatricality. This topic is less about any single event and more about a method of understanding the world, one that values detail, character, and the revealing power of everyday moments. Through profiles, essays, and lighter pieces, the book shows how a sophisticated magazine maintained continuity of style while responding to extraordinary circumstances. Readers also see how irony and elegance can coexist with seriousness, creating writing that is memorable without being sensational. Importantly, the New Yorker approach can illuminate the ethics of attention, what a writer chooses to notice, whom a writer chooses to center, and how a narrative frames responsibility. In a decade that demanded choices, the magazine's mix of skepticism and empathy becomes a theme in itself. For contemporary readers, this is a lesson in media literacy and craft, demonstrating how to read not only for information, but for framing, assumptions, and the subtle signals that shape interpretation. The result is a portrait of the 1940s filtered through a consistent editorial sensibility that rewards careful reading. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to experience the 1940s through contemporaneous voices rather than a single retrospective historian's summary. History enthusiasts, students, writers, and anyone interested in how media shapes public understanding will find value in the way the collection presents war, society, politics, and culture as lived realities. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening perspective on crisis decision-making, showing how quickly normal routines can change, and illustrating how communities adapt when resources, expectations, and roles are disrupted. It also trains readers to recognize tone, framing, and narrative craft in nonfiction, useful skills for navigating modern news and commentary. Compared to similar decade overviews, the advantage here is texture. The piece is aimed to capture mood, debate, and social detail, not just dates and outcomes. The New Yorker's editorial standards and range make the collection feel curated for intelligence and readability, with reporting and criticism side by side to broaden understanding. If you want a time capsule view that combines public events with cultural and personal dimensions, this book is worth buying as both a historical companion and a model of enduring magazine writing. If you would like to support The New Yorker magazine, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.